From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. The professional basketball season is underway, minus Phil Jackson. Jackson coached the Chicago Bulls of Michael Jordan's era to 6 National Basketball Association titles. Then he led the Los Angeles Lakers of Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal to 3 championships. The Lakers were eliminated in the playoffs in 2003, and then in 2004, Phil Jackson coached his last season with Los Angeles and kept a diary, which he's published. It's called The Last Season, A Team in Search of Its Soul. Now, Phil Jackson, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Robert. It's a pleasure being here.
Well, the NBA season has begun. Do you miss it?
Absolutely not. I'm so glad not to be part of it. I haven't tuned in. I hope not to have to tune in. I think it's kind of like someone addicted to having to go through withdrawals, and the best thing for me is to stay away from it for a while.
You know what a high recidivist rate people who are addicted have, though, to these things.
I sure do, and you know, I'm not saying I'm never going to coach again or be part of it, but I just like to move ahead and move on.
You coached 2 of the most gifted players in the National Basketball Association today, Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal. The story that you tell of trying to coach Kobe Bryant is just a terribly frustrating one. How do you sum up what the problem was in your relationship with Kobe Bryant?
I think, understandably, it was a very difficult year for him.
The year when he stood the prospect of facing trial and sexual assault in Colorado.
Well, it was a continual barrage of insult to his personal life. Kobe's situation, however he wanted to interpret it, was something that I think many of those people close to him hoped that he would get some professional help and come away from it a better person, and hopefully he has. In my first meeting with him in late August before the season starts, I talked to him about what kind of professional help he gets, and he tells me he hasn't had anything but a pastor of a local church that he's been talking to.
You felt that was really insufficient, that he probably needed a lot more than that.
I don't want to, belabor the issue as far as how professional a minister is. I think that, you know, religious convictions, I think, are very important in people's lives. But I think there's a difference between the professional help you can get in this degree.
Well, what's remarkable is that you went and you found a therapist to help you deal with Kobe Bryant, as I understand it. You're the one who decided that you needed some other professional help here.
Yes, I had a resource of a person that had, expertise in dealing with young people that are in conflict, that have narcissistic behavior, that have ADD, that have a variety of things that I have to run up against in coaching NBA players. Suddenly, we have a conflict before the season even begins that has to be resolved, and we end up using this therapist a couple times.
Now, by way of contrast, your relationship with Shaquille O'Neal, who no longer is with the Los Angeles Lakers, he left, while it had a lot of bumps and some rough spots, much more positive coach-to-player relationship, no?
Well, one of the interesting things is the difference in upbringing between, say, a Shaquille and a Kobe. Kobe came from an NBA family, a solid relationship with his parents, 2 older sisters, a father that had tried the NBA for a few years and then went on and played for 15 or 12 years at least in Italy, in the professional league over in Italy, where Kobe spent a lot of years growing up as a solitary boy in a foreign country to come back in the summer times, be part of the American scene in Philadelphia for a couple months, and then his father go back to Italy. Shaq, on the other hand, also had that foreign intrigue in his stepfather's case. He was a military family child, and Shaq was very much into the military horizontal chain of command. So you can see the difference between their upbringing.
So do I detect from reading your journal of the last season that whereas we always associated you in the past with Zen Buddhism and kind of New Age Native American or meditation, things of that sort. Kind of basic mainstream psychotherapy seems to be a very big interest of yours and a very big tool for solving problems.
Well, I think that with the Lakers, with the span of, ages between 40 and 18 between players, a lot of times, finding fertile ground to try and work these kind of mature ideas in a group doesn't fall on soil that is ready to germinate the seed. And, you know, even though we used meditation extremely effectively in the first three championship years, the esprit de corps of this ball club broke down at a level in which, you know, I basically had to empty the what we call our media room, our war room, so to speak, change the backdrop, do the things that I normally would do with smudging or, you know, smoking out at an area and retrying to establish another aura that was going to go into this particular room.
For example, putting up pictures of them.
Yes.
Putting up pictures of them so they could feel some ego boost in the room.
Right, and that it was about them. It wasn't about this greater ideal of, you know, perhaps warrior, peaceful warrior nature, or this, you know, type of Zen, or this type of Native American tradition that I'd kind of exemplified on, you know, by icons and images they use in this room.
Is Los Angeles really that different from Chicago, where you'd coached, or for that matter, New York, where you'd played?
I think it is, Robert. I think one of the things about Los Angeles is it really loves this rumor mill. Gossip, you know, is really part of the framework of the movie entertainment industry out here, television, etc.
But to this this overheated melodrama that is the Los Angeles Lakers 2003-2004 season, you brought a complication of your own, which was, despite a strained relationship with the owner of the team, Dr. Jerry Buss, your girlfriend is his daughter, a vice president of the team, Jeannie Buss.
Yes, indeed, and it did bring a conflict of a conflicted emotion, I should say. Mostly because, you know, a lot of what you know, Jeannie saw in a relationship was a relationship to the ball club. Also, because you know, it gets blurred, the boundaries.
But you know, in the fictional movie for television about mm-hmm. a pro basketball franchise, the moment when you realize that the coach is having a romantic relationship with the owner's daughter, who is an executive of the team, that's the moment you say, this just isn't real. This is a silly plot. These things really don't happen.
Well, it is surreal. And you know, there even was a script and a television interest as we watch reality TV take over television, so to speak. It's kind of been shelved as a serial, but there certainly was great interest in trying to provoke that, you know, that relationship and the conflict that it has.
You're telling me you think that reality TV has upped the ante for improbable relationships, and even this no longer qualifies for prime time.
Yeah, you're right.
Phil Jackson, thanks a lot for talking with us today.
I appreciate it, Robert. Thank you.
Phil Jackson, author now of The Last Season, A Team in Search of Its Soul.